Chag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, best friend, and deep thinker, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom, and happy festival to you, and shalom, saints of God. We are very glad you've tuned in as we begin our study on Pentecost, which is in a week, actually, a week from Sunday, May 16th. So tonight, and mostly next week, we'll be teaching on this very important feast. Now, please bow your hearts with us in prayer.
Father God, we humbly approach your throne of grace as we thank you for showing mercy to all of us as we strive even more passionately to help build your kingdom. Grant us your shalom during these uncomfortable times that demands much courage to speak the real truth while yet showing genuine love and compassion to anyone that you put in our path. Bless the listeners, hear their prayers, especially for the salvation of our loved ones while there is still time. We pray for the people of India. May they renounce their false gods and reach out to you, the one and only true God. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and may this program glorify you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Our First Amendment free speech censorship is growing rapidly.
You think?
Yep.
It certainly has picked up a lot of speed, and they just blame it on algorithms. You know, I witnessed on Sunday where YouTube had played Saturday's episode of Waters World. But when Jesse was showing pictures on TV of the cult of the cartels from Mexico and their saint of death who they worship, which, by the way, is a skull clothed in a veil and a crown and various other similar pictures. Well, when I finally found the program on YouTube to forward it to a friend, you could see Jesse talking about it, but the gross pictures he had shown on TV, well, they were now covered with a picture of President Trump.
Yeah, and that's no joke.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I did take pictures from the TV on my cell phone, and we'll include them in our next newsletter about these very demonic cartels who, as their initiation to join, must eat flesh from a human sacrifice offered to this Santa Muerte, meaning saint of death. And you know what? Biden is doing nothing to stop the trafficking.
Well, he's on a dog leash, and we all know it.
This administration is stealing our freedoms. Just watch how more regulations, especially on guns, and expected mandates through private companies to force these injections, and basically that's really already happening, as well as they're pushing the electric cars as we watch the gasoline prices steadily increase. So eventually we'll just have to give in. Anyhow, the list is lengthy on the path to losing our freedoms.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, I know you watched the president make his address to Congress.
I did. And didn't you say it was a good remedy for insomnia?
Yeah, it was. There were lots of free dangling carrots.
Yes. To increase the debt and raise the taxes. You know, he just kept saying how he would bring in a lot of jobs, but of course he never mentioned the 11,000 loss from his canceling the Keystone Pipeline.
Or the workers from the border wall.
And said nothing on the drug and sex trafficking coming in across the border. So anyway, we could spend too much valuable time on this, but I will say that even AOC admitted Biden is proving to be much more progressive than she ever thought he'd be.
So, he lied on his campaign trail.
But those with any discernment saw right through that malarkey. But what have we been saying lately, honey?
It is bitter, but also a sweet time to be alive.
Again, just a foreshadow, a revelation, especially chapter 10, verse 10.
Should we move on?
We will move on, but not far. As the Wall Street Journal reported last week that the Biden administration is likely to, as we assumed and warned about last week, planning on lifting terrorism-related sanctions on Iran. therefore reversing the positive momentum in the Middle East by destabilizing the peaceful balance of power Biden found there, orchestrated by Trump and the Abraham Accords. Israel's Ambassador Erdan to the United States predicted Biden would revive negotiations on the 2015 nuclear deal within weeks.
And as we said last week, that's not good in God's eyes.
Genesis 12, verse 3. And as we stated last week about the Pope and Henry Kissinger, well, now we can add China's Xi Jinping. They're all openly and aggressively calling for a new world order.
I think communist China has outsmarted the world.
Seems so, for not only are they, with probable intent, responsible for the coronavirus and also this new variant attacking their neighboring enemy of India, but now they also benefit economically more than any other country worldwide.
They are demonically intelligent.
You think? Mm-hmm. And like demons who have been around forever, they are also patient and good liars while being very dishonest as they've been stealing U.S. technology.
And aren't they developing a new digital currency?
You are correct. And they have detailed plans to replace the dollar soon. And by the way, Russia is moving away from the dollar too. Also, Chinese companies were heavily invested in the corrupt Dominion voting machines.
And even produced some of the parts.
So again, China's economy is booming while the United States and the rest of the world is reeling from the high costs. Of course, our administration could really care less about cost, as we are witnessing.
And do not forget that China has deep relations with Hunter and family.
In other words, the Bidens are bought and paid for, as most of us are quite aware of. So we watch the greatest country in all history disintegrating before our eyes. And honestly, I'm surprised God's hand of protection hasn't lifted more noticeably years ago, with how they so totally are rejecting him and the Bible. And we knew when we took prayer out of the schools that it would slowly go downhill. And today, they actually exalt sodomy, with over 42 million humans sacrificing, they call abortions, in 2020 worldwide.
In fact, abortion is the leading cause of death.
And now, change your sex because God made a mistake.
Well, you know, all this has been a planned agenda for many decades.
Oh, yeah, here a little, there a little, till mm-hmm. more doors open for the total demonic takeover, as Revelation teaches us.
Well, you know, the main component is to destroy the family unit.
Yes. Easy divorce, get behind the feminist movement, target the children in public schools, changing the curriculum, and thereby changing our history.
Push the environmental movement.
Right. Adding so many regulations that small businesses can't start up, and the ones that can, well, we'll just shut them down with a plague or rioting or both. And of course, move to destroy Christianity and make it illegal to preach against the LGBTQ.
The hate crime bill.
Mm-hmm. And remember, the United States Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, and then Obama painted the White House in rainbow colors using holograms in celebration. We could go on, but bottom line, we are there, saints of God. And now, these deadly vaccines are worse than the disease, in my view.
You have an update on the vaccines?
I do, from the VAERS data, which actually, V-A-E-R-S means Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Anyway, last week they released that it showed over 118,000 reports of adverse events following the COVID vaccines, including 3,500 deaths and over 12,000 serious injuries, 12,000, all between December through April.
And then there's that two-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Within 6 days of receiving the second injection of Pfizer's vaccine, a 2-year-old baby whose own parents enrolled her in the company's clinical trials passed away.
Yeah, no other info available.
So they say.
And lastly, Netanyahu has until midnight to form his government.
Yes, but President Rivlin could extend it or go to a direct vote for prime minister. But right now, it's not looking good for Netanyahu.
And 45 people were crushed to death last Thursday.
Yes, apparently in an accidental tight alley stampede of nearly 10,000 worshipers gathered on Mount Meron in Tel Aviv for the ceremonial bonfire lighting of the Lag Bay Omar homage at the town, at the tomb of the revered Rabbi Yochai. And actually, that has stood on the top of the Galilee Mountain since the year 912.
Who died on the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer?
Right, which is what that day was. And we will talk tonight about the current counting of the Omer in just a few minutes. But first, please tell the listeners how they can connect with us.
You can send your end time questions, your comments, or your end time questions to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message, 2440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our archived past radio and teaching newsletters.
All right, then. We have a special Sunday coming up.
Yes, this year it's on May 16th.
The Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew.
The fourth kept appointment out of seven.
Yes, he literally fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, then 50 days later sent the Holy Spirit.
On the anniversary of the first Pentecost.
Exactly, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19 and Exodus 20, and onward. But many Christians don't even realize that many centuries earlier there was an historic day called Pentecost as well.
Yeah, 50 days after the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea.
Right, in Exodus 12, verse 20.
Penta is Greek and means five, as in 50 days.
Yes, also equals 7 weeks. And in Exodus 34:22, this feast is called the Feast of Weeks, because it's seven Sabbaths from the feast of the first fruits of the barley on the next day.
So, always on a Sunday.
And that's according to Scripture, which we'll also read in a minute. But the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is officially considered the birth of the church as a whole.
Also, you can say the bride of Christ was betrothed.
Just like the Hebrews were at Mount Sinai on the first Pentecost, which, as we said, came 50 days after Nisan 17 when they crossed through the Red Sea. So, not only are his appointments historical, Jesus himself, literally to the exact dates, fulfills the spring feasts and the Feast of Weeks by sending the Holy Spirit to every believer in Jerusalem. The foreigners were amazed to hear about God in their own language. Mm-hmm. Now back to when the Hebrews left in the Exodus. So God set them free from their enemy slavery into a new life. Just as Yeshua's resurrection, also on Nisan 17, frees us from being a slave unto sin,
giving us new life as born-again believers.
And as sure as we are proclaiming these fulfilled miracles to you tonight, we can therefore also assuredly know that Jesus will keep his last three appointments scheduled in the fall season some year. And that is a promise.
Amen to that.
So let's read the passage in Leviticus about Pentecost and the fact that it must always fall on a Sunday. Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering,
on the first fruits of the barley,
7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. The new grain were the first cuttings now of the wheat. Sadly, today's Jews do not follow the scriptures' Sunday rule. They instead count from a different day after the holy day of unleavened bread,
which is an extra high Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. But it is very plain. Leviticus 23, verse 11 says the Feast of First Fruits should always be the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. But as we have taught when teaching on the spring feast, that day is ignored. So because of that, Pentecost seldom falls on a Sunday either.
So remind the listeners why they do that.
Well, some say it's because it's, you know, because Christians claim that first fruits is the day of Christ's resurrection, which it is, and they would rather distance themselves from that declaration, and so it became tradition. Verse 17 gives us some more details about Pentecost in Leviticus 23.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah.
That's about a gallon of grain.
They shall be of finely sifted flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
Now by this time, it would be around the end of May or early June, the first cuttings of the wheat is coming in and continues till the end of fall when it is harvested. Okay, so why now could they eat leavened bread when during Passover, it's absolutely no leaven?
Well, leaven is always a typology of sin.
And Jesus was without sin, the unleavened bread from heaven, who would take away the sins of the world.
So, leaven was not allowed per God.
Then. But on Pentecost, as a future picture of what Christ would do, the Jews could now eat leavened bread on this feast.
As a typology.
Yeah. That approximately 1,400 years later, Christ would have would have taken our leaven to the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so by Pentecost, sins were already paid for. Therefore, as a future New Testament picture, they could eat the leaven. And by the way, prior to Jesus, their debt for sins had to be paid by the blood of an innocent, obviously sinless, animal. Today, those who refuse to accept Jesus as the sinless lamb and make him Lord over their life has instead chosen to pay their own sin debt in hell.
Stupid is as stupid does. How did I do on that one?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And that is why at Pentecost, they were to offer 2 loaves of leavened bread to represent that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace. Pentecost reinforces his promises to us. Some Bible teachers suggest because it's officially the birth of the church, so perhaps the rapture might occur on a Pentecost some year. Except there's a problem with that. It already has had its fulfillment with the coming of the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Therefore, we happen to think that the rapture is likely to occur on the next unfulfilled appointment, historically on the anniversary of the creation of man, called Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year, also called the Feast of Trumpets. But of course, we don't know what year or which day or hour because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, especially, you know, you've got the many time zones in the world. But we do look for clues, which today are many. But I would have to say the biggest clue of all will be at least the talking about dividing Jerusalem where Israel will lose its sovereignty over at least the Temple Mount to be made international for all faiths. Of course, we'll be gone, which means Israel would lose control over God's most holiest place in all the earth. But we'll go along with it in exchange to build their temple of Revelation 11. Anyhow, Pentecost is not the day that Paul said we would be caught up. He was very specific when he used the very common expression in the first century for Rosh Hashanah in 1 Corinthians 15:51 by telling us that he was about to reveal a mystery, which means that there's some fact that they didn't know yet. Not only will we all be changed in a twinkling of an eye, but that it will occur at the last trump. That's such a huge clue, usually missed if you haven't learned much of our spiritual roots. There are three trumpet idioms or common phrases used in Paul's day attached to three different specific feast days. There's the first trump, the last trump, which by the way is not the seventh trump of Revelation, and thirdly, the great trump, or shofar in Hebrew. Let me explain. At the first Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, God gave Moses and the Israelites his law and his promises if they would remain faithful to him only. God then sounded for all to hear the first shofar ever recorded in the Bible, Exodus 19. Therefore, the expression first shofar became an idiom or another name for Pentecost when a betrothal oath covenant between God and his people was agreed to. And Exodus 24 confirms that they did. And they said all the words that Yahweh has said we will do. Same with us. When we became born again, we entered into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. In Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding except for adultery. In this case, for us, spiritual adultery by worshiping any other foreign god. And at that time, there were many. And I guess you could say there still are today. But the last trump is also an idiom for a different feast of celebrating all creation called Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets due to the fact they would blow 100 shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah and the last one made their new year official. So this feast became known as the last trump. Again, Paul knew this when he wrote that the catching up will occur at the last trump. Seems easy enough to understand. And then the great trump is blown on Yom Kippur, according to Leviticus 25, especially important in a Jubilee year, and which will be blown when Jesus visibly returns, Revelation 19, on a Yom Kippur, which is a definite Jubilee year. Also see Matthew 24:31 and Isaiah 27:13. So anyhow, to say the resurrection / rapture is on the day of the first trump on a Pentecost, when we have scripture saying it's the last trump, again, we side with Paul. So, quickly recapping, after Jesus' resurrection and being seen by many for 40 days, he was about to permanently ascend to heaven when he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for 10 more days, because he would keep his fourth appointment of the seven by sending them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We're going to address all this again next week, but I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that total, total shalom, peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in all kinds of ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Stay well. See you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.